Hey everybody, welcome to Climb the Ladder for episode 157, presented by Washed Up Network. I'm your co-host Hunter, and my equally good-looking twin brother Duncan is right here with me. Thank you to everybody who's been tuning in each week. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes and Spotify. You can see two of the same face when you head over to YouTube. Also, if you've seen our brand new CTL koozies and you still want one, you're in luck. We have a few left in stock. Send us a message if you want one. And as always, let's climb the ladder. How's it going, everybody? Good to be on here the week leading up to the 4th of July, one of our favorite times of the year. Like Hunter said, if you want one of those CTL koozies, Stars and Stripes edition, make sure to shoot us a DM on any of our social media platforms, comment on our YouTube page, or if you have our number, shoot us a text, and we'll try to get you one before the 4th of July. We're creeping up on kind of those last few days that we could get one out, but if you want one that bad, or especially if you're local to Washington or the Boise area, Hunter and I could hand deliver one with the personal CTL touch. But yeah, excited. Seems like summer's just cruising on by. Excited. Good weather all around. We'll preview the 4th of July weekend, even though it's on a Tuesday, here at the end of the episode. But yeah, I think we just jump into it with a little bit of content. Maybe starting out, we've got some national champions to sound off on. The LSU Tigers are victorious for their seventh men's national championship for the College World Series.
Yeah, first one since 2009, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so congrats to the purple and gold over there. Down in Louisiana, strong showing out of the SEC. Obviously, the championship came down between the Florida Gators and the LSU Tigers. Great matchup. LSU came out hot in game one, and then not sure what happened. Florida was feeling it in game two. Wasn't it like 24-4 or something? I forget what the final was.
Yeah, so game two was 24-4. Florida, so they evened it out at 1-1. I was lucky I got to watch at least a little bit of all three games.
I was shocked for that game too.
Game two was brutal. I mean, game one was awesome. They took it to 11 innings. LSU wins by a small margin. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a crazy series, which it was, but not in the way that I thought, because it goes extra innings, close game, blowout by Florida. Florida sets the record for the most runs and the most hits on Sunday night in game two. So then it's like, okay, LSU has to flush it. By like the seventh inning, they knew there was no coming back. And LSU was just getting shelled, Florida hitting it all over the place. I think six home runs or maybe more. Yeah. And so game three, we're like, okay, anything could happen. And literally the opposite of game two happened. Florida just gets blown out. Tigers come out swinging, Hosses are shooting them out of the ballpark. And then LSU ended up breaking the record for hits in a World Series game that was set the previous night. So just crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous. The number of hits in those back-to-back nights, and especially that second inning of game three for LSU, because Florida, right out of the gates, boom, it was 2-0 quick in game three. And I was like, this is going to be a battle, I thought. And then LSU opened it up, I think, six runs in the second. And they never looked back.
No, LSU knew what the mission was. They didn't even bring in Skeens, who's a projected top three draft pick, pitcher, one of the best pitchers they've ever seen in college baseball, especially at LSU. He was projected to maybe come in the eighth or ninth and kind of get his last hurrah before the draft, but they didn't even need to bother with that. He kind of got to ride off in the sunset after he pitched in game one. And yeah, I mean, it was a great World Series overall because you had an amazing appearance from the Gators. But for the Tigers to actually flush it and not let the Sunday game get to them, take it to game three and just absolutely turn the tables and womp them. And I mean, they piled on. Usually baseball etiquette, you know, you're up by 10 or 12, you kind of call off the dogs, but Florida didn't call off the dogs the day before. And LSU was definitely not going to back off when they had the opportunity to keep going.
Yeah, and that's the thing you got to love. I mean, we've said it before, but love it about college sports. Anything can happen and any day. And I think we said last week when we previewed the championship, love a Monday college championship you know, now in 2023. We got the men's, well, obviously the football national championship. We got Monday of March Madness, the men's national championship. I think the women's is on Sunday, maybe Saturday, but I think it's Sunday for March Madness women's. And then, yeah, now baseball, men's College World Series right there.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm thinking of and curious for your take on it is we've talked about how, like, hockey is awesome because – it goes, you know, every stage of the playoffs, every stage of the postseason is seven games. So I'm thinking, you know, hey, awesome. Game one was tied of this. Game two lopsided. Game three lopsided. What do you think would have happened? And should we expand the College World Series? You know, I think three games make sense leading up to it. MLB does three games for wild card, and then they do five games, and then the actual World Series is seven games. And I know these are college students, so it's a little bit different, but what would have happened if we had best of five or best of seven? Because like you said, that's the best thing about baseball is anything can happen. You can get 10 run one day and put up 20 the next. And we literally saw that happen. Florida put 23 hits, 24 runs on Sunday. LSU one-ups them and does 24 hits and 24 runs on Monday. And it's the same team that just got whomped on either side. So say then Tuesday we're playing game four and maybe Wednesday we're playing game five. Like, does it get closer? Do things level out? You know, obviously you have to be more strategic with your pitching. What do you think would have happened if we would have kept going?
Yeah, I think that at that point, I think you make a good point, but at that point, then you start mixing in rest days. I mean, you're not traveling, which is good because
that's what I like about, softball and baseball. Softball's in Oklahoma, baseball's in Omaha, Nebraska. Neutral site, the whole thing is played there.
Yeah.
You don't have to travel like you do in professional sports to be at a home stadium. Like, you're there, let's just keep playing. But I also know
I do like that. I just think three games you can get away with.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. But then you do need a rest.
I don't like if it would have been over after two games, because it's like, you know, you play three game series against teams all season, you know? So then three games for a championship seems a little, I don't know, low or maybe soft even. Like five games. So then it's like, okay, do you restructure the schedule on the front end? You still could potentially have a Monday championship, so you get that weekend. Maybe you start the tournament on a Friday, and you go Friday, Saturday. You could still plan on Friday, Saturday, Sunday if a team sweeps a five-game series. If they win three in a row, then it's over on Sunday. And then if it comes to game four, you know, like the whole College World Series bracket was if necessary, like this game, if necessary, this team would play if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could still do three in a row and then do game four if necessary after a day of rest. You could even have four and five back-to-back days. But yeah, I would like a five game. Obviously, it comes from sports fans just wanting more action and more ball. But yeah, that's where I would go. I don't know what about you.
It just feels like I think the point that I'm getting at is you play three games against people all year long. MLB, you have three or four game series against people in the regular season. So to me, I want to see something different. I want to change a pace. I want it to look a little bit different, feel a little bit different. And it's kind of cool that they go four teams get into the World Series and then they narrow it down to two.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at the schedule and they played every day through the College World Series. There was a game or two. And so not every team is playing every day, but you always have two games going to get to the elimination and then obviously the final. So yeah, maybe you bump up the start of the tournament and maybe you go, yeah, start the finals on Thursday. And but I do think you need a day of rest. So maybe you go like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then because it is best of five, so you could end on game four. So maybe you go Wednesday, Thursday, break, and then like Saturday, Sunday, Monday to still get that Monday championship. I don't know. I really feel like the championship is earned through more than three games. And I mean, yeah, what LSU did was incredible to come back. No discount there at all. I'm just thinking baseball feels like it needs to be a five game championship series. So if anybody has thoughts on that, definitely hit us if you're listening and you're like, man, I think five games or seven, or hey, they're just in college, keep it at three. But it just felt like, man, this is awesome. I kind of want some more.
Yeah. And you think of like in, you know, in the bracket for men's basketball, like you have a good game, you have to carry it to the next one. You play 2 days later, 3 days later. So I don't know, something like that even. But
yeah, I would say so too. Well, at the end of the day, great series. Congratulations to the Tigers. I know Joey's excited. We were texting him. Obviously, proud alum, two-time alum, born and raised in Louisiana. So shout out to Joey if he's listening. Your boys got it. Seventh title. Very exciting, especially to crush a rival like the Gators. So,
yeah.
Well, what do you say? Let's jump into some big boy ball and get into a little Mariners convo. Got a couple updates from around the league.
Yeah, man, I don't know where we go right now. We're just a few days, maybe a week away from the All-Star break, and same old story. Mariners hovering right around 500. Actually, I mean, down bad lately, given the Astros and the Angels some breathing room, 10 games out of first place behind the Rangers. I don't know, like these last couple that we've dropped, we just lost the series to the Nationals, who last I checked were 13 games under 500 at home for the Mariners after a pretty subpar road trip also. And then you can go against, we host the Rays after a Thursday rest day. We do a weekend series against the Rays at home. That's not going to be any better. So you go and lose one of the Nats.
I mean,
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that we're a threat to anybody. And when I'm looking down the barrel of six games leading up to the All-Star break that are against two of the top teams, the Rays, best team in baseball right now, we could easily lose three to them, which I hope isn't the case. And then the Giants are always a threat in the NL West, and we could easily drop two or three to them in a three-game series. And then, yeah, we have the fortune of a four-game series against the Astros, which honestly, if we could do something against the Astros, even taking three out of four, that would be incredible to go into the All-Star break and on a high note, you know, recoup, let J-Rod go in the home run derby and maybe have a little bit closer of a shot in the AL West. But if we keep slipping or playing subpar ball, there's no way that we have a shot at even a wild card, let alone the AL West.
No, not at all. I was just trying to find, I had a CTL memory from a year ago pop up with our graphic.
Yeah, it was basically the same.
Literally the same thing. So maybe it's not terrible, but it was a year ago, the title of the episode. So what, 50, 52 episodes ago.
Yeah, I think we're at 104.
Yeah, we had just broken 100. So yeah, maybe a month prior, but it said Mariners are hovering around 500. So it's the same story. So, I mean, we saw how it ended last year. Maybe all hope is not lost, but I mean, for the second half of the season, 82 or 81 games, what, we have to probably go 2/3 success rate from there on out?
Yeah, we really need to win, 70% of our games going forward, because if the Rangers continue to be hot and then a healthy Angels team, which we've always said if the Angels are healthy and Shohei and Trout are doing their thing, they're dangerous, and then the Astros always have our number. So the odds are stacked against us, but if we can come out and do what we did last year, like in August, and just blow the doors off, I think we should be able to, but I'm also not that optimistic after the first half. Like, they can't just come out being the same Mariners that we've seen up to the All-Star break. We've got to make some moves.
Yeah, and I don't think it's like dead alert panic mode, but dude, like, I don't know if it's another batting order adjustment. Like, JP in the leadoff spot has proven to be good. We've talked about that. Is it pitching? Is it shifting guys around again? Like, man, we just got to have better at bats. We got to move the ball around. We had bases loaded with nobody out, and we didn't score anybody, and then gave up 3 runs the following inning.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, there's just got to be something. Scott and Jerry need to hit the office and just see, like, what are we going to do? Because it's just not lining up.
No. So, yeah, Rays and then Giants leading into the All-Star break. That does not look like a good stretch for us. Maybe they'll shock everybody. Hey, we could be literally sitting at 500 going into it, and I think all Mariners fans would be happy.
Yeah, that would be a win, especially playing these games at home coming up. We need some of that help. So
yeah. Well, what do you say we take some attention off the M's? And not to pick on anybody, but as Mariners fans who we go through the ups and downs, there's another team that they're trying to figure it out too. But for this one individual, he's been making the rounds and getting some attention out there on the internet and around social media. But Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Alek Manoah, I don't know if you've heard anything about his just down bad luck, but the guy was an all-star last year for the American League and an AL Cy Young finalist in 2022. So we're talking less than a year ago, like when the season ended in regular season, September of 22, and it's June of 23. So like barely over 6 months, maybe 8 months. This guy had a great year. He lost his last 5 games in a row in the month of May and beginning of June, and got sent down to the Blue Jays minor league program to play in the Florida Complex League with their minor league team. And in 2 2/3 innings, he gave up 11 runs, including 2 home runs and 10 hits total.
That's pretty rough. I hadn't heard of him before. I think it was Clayton that sent us the link, or Miles the other day. But man, I mean, this guy has had a rough go of it. Obviously, that's a headline for sure. But then you look, last season was not awesome. He, after going 16-7 with 2.24 ERA in 31 starts, he went 1-7 with over a 6 ERA in the next 13 starts to end the season. And then looking back further in his rookie season, he went 9-2 with a 3.22 ERA in 2021, and the dude's only 25. So like, even though we're kind of making fun of him and shedding light, like, you would hope that a guy with that much talent, former Cy Young finalist, he's only 25 years old. Like, he could have another 10 years in the league easy. But if you're just getting shelled, like, you got to go back to the basics, find a new pitch or eliminate the change or something, because that's going to draw headlines all day long. If you're a major pitcher going to rehab assignment, not because you're injured, but because you're doing terrible, like you gotta figure something out there, bud.
Yeah, I mean, that's just rough. And baseball is such a mental game. Obviously, there's the physical side of it when people are just crushing dingers and, you know, guys throw 101, 102. But there's such a mental side to it that often gets forgotten. So not trying to pick on this guy, but like at some point, numbers don't lie. And that's just a crazy baseball stat.
Yeah, you got to like only go to the hotel between games, like get your mind right, no outside distractions.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, take a little bit of heat off the pitches, but get the accuracy going. Cause
yeah,
you got to paint some corners if you're just getting shelled in less than three innings.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, let's hop through some segments. Sometimes it's fun to go a little rapid fire on some of our favorite segments. So as always, or as recently, we're bringing segments to you by our CTL koozies. We mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, but we've got special edition Stars and Stripes koozies, and we want you guys to get your hands on them. $5 a piece going into the 4th of July weekend, and we want to make sure to get them in your hands and keep your drinks cold. So definitely shoot us a text, give us a call, shoot us a DM, and we will get one in your possession. Once you have one, hashtag CTL, and make sure you tag us on Instagram and Twitter, showing us what you're holding up in your CTL koozie.
Yeah, just got a couple more sold. Hannah's grandparents were super excited about it. Every time I go over there, I usually go through the garage because they say that they have front door company and side door company. So side door of the garage, go through there. And usually they see us pull up. So Hannah's grandpa meets me out in the garage. It's a beer fridge only. There's no food out there. It's strictly a beer fridge. Classic. Just in case people don't have a garage fridge, like this is it. And I actually have one like pretty similar, but you know that the one he has is like probably 40 years old. And it's a top bottom. It's a high-low cooler. I mean, refrigerator. You can't have a side by side. You can't have a fancy like double door with the freezer drawer. You got to have a high low, a top bottom. And yeah, you can have meat and you can have other like indoor, like inside fridge stuff can be in the freezer, but the bottom that you have to open the fridge door and lean down in to retrieve said item, which should only be beer or other alcohol. Or drink NA if you choose, but the fridge has to be a certain type, and he has the fridge, and then he has a whole box of koozies on top. And nice. I've never seen, you guys have heard us talk about koozies, but I've never seen him drink a beer without a koozie. Nice. And so he saw it on Facebook, he saw the pictures, he's like, hey, you gotta have a couple of those. They have a neighborhood bonfire every Monday night, and they had koozies made up for that like years ago. And so that one's in the trusty box. That's a go-to. And I think this is going to be his new go-to, because I got him same day. Like Duncan said, if you're local, we'll deliver. And same day delivery, he was pumped. We had a cold one right there to christen the koozies.
Nice.
Yeah, can't go wrong. So
yeah, make it
yours
happen
ahead of the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, well, let's hop into a couple of segments, starting off with fantasy feats and failures.
I think I got to open this one up.
Take it away.
I'm pumped. Everybody thought I was out, just down and out. I was 3-7-1 with lucky old Ty, and I righted the ship, got some course correction, and I knocked off somebody who was ahead of me, washed up's very own Miles Clifford. And I was pumped to get that win, and I'm going against Clayton this week, and it's a pretty good matchup so far.
I love that. It's always good to, you know, stay in it. And hey, even at 4-7-1, you're really not that far behind kind of being mid pack. I did see
it's a close league
playoff projections. It's only top four. So you got to make sure that you get into one of the top two spots in either the East or West.
Which is also very interesting that it's not two from each, but.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was last year and I missed.
Yeah, because it is top four. So then at that point, it's like, why is it even broken up? You know, yeah. It should just be 10 teams. But in the West, which you are leading right now, there's a three-way tie for second with three teams at 6-6. And then one team from the East also at 6-6. So almost half the league is at 500, which is crazy. Like, that's about as competitive as it can get.
Yeah, and otherwise, dancing around that, everybody else is pretty much in it. I mean, Tanner always seems like he has a rough go of it.
One team has five wins, and then one team with one.
And then we're at 7, 8, and 9, so... I mean, the whole league is pretty similar. I think we'd had that happen with fantasy football, which has always been our goal, like get people who are actually going to check their teams. So, sorry, Tanner. Other than Tanner, everybody's pretty much in the running because, again, long season. But I got to toot my horn a little bit just because it might end this week. But praying to the baseball gods and crossing my fingers that the streak stays alive. But I'm currently on a 6-game winning streak. Sitting at sole possession of first in the West or second overall in the league. For anybody that wants to know my record, I'm 8-4. So I was sitting at 2-4 7 weeks ago, I guess. And I'm now on a 6-game winning streak. I will say that Mitchell, thanks Mitchell. Love you, man. Editor of our podcast. He's giving me a run for it this week. I'm down for the first time, only 3 days into the week, but he's got pedal to the metal, so I'm hoping I can come back with some good pitching and pull it off, but definitely the best I've ever done as far as being way down 6 games in and then now being way up 6 more games in. So pray that the streak stays alive and I can stretch it to a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's nuts. And then depending how your matchup with Mitch goes, which we'll all wait to find out next week, you got Andrew next week, so a little 1-2 matchup there.
Yeah, I was pretty daunted with Andrew and Colton at the beginning of the season. You know, they were both like 7-0 or 8-0, and now I passed Colton, and I'm just sitting behind Andrew, so I'm going to try to – I can't get too confident. I got to keep my eye on the prize and plug away each week, but so far so good, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah, wow. Well, what in the last week has really hit the spot? Because we haven't revisited that one in a while, and especially going into the Independence Day weekend, which we will get a preview soon. What has hit the spot last week? Because I have a pretty good hypothetical on what will hit the spot this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, well, I was going to go a different route, but since it's front of mind, I got to say – if you've had the new Peach Bush Light, that absolutely hits the spot. Hunter is tired of hearing about it because he can't find it in Washington. Yeah. But if you're in Boise, grocery outlet on Overland, I'd never been there before, but I caught a whim that they might have the limited edition summer Peach Bush Light. I will say I'm not a Bush Light drinker. I think I've had Bush Light once before, but... man, this is a good beer. It is like the most refreshing thing you've had. And I would say that Peach Bush Light might be the definition of hit the spot.
Man, I mean, that has summer written all over it.
It's perfect. Not the best beer you've ever had, but it might be one of the most refreshing.
I mean, I can't even fathom just an ice cold, like, speaking of garage fridge, I have my garage fridge turned down to the coldest setting because if there's no food in there, then why have it at the recommended, like it recommends 4 out of 7 and I just have it cranked. And that's one step below a ice, like a cooler beer.
So good.
And I want that.
Yeah, you'll get it. I'm sure it'll make its way there. So yeah, if anybody out there has heard of Peach Bush Light or knows that it's out there, limited time, kind of like their Apple release, which I've never had. But I would highly recommend grabbing 30 of those for, especially headed into a nice hot Independence Day weekend. Crack one on the 4th. I think you'll be set. What about for you? What's hit the spot?
I have to say the wedding that we went to over the weekend, great, fun time. Congrats to the happy couple, Rachel and Kenny. But pulled pork, mac and cheese, coleslaw, and Caesar salad. Talk about a spread, but also not an overwhelming. Like, that was it. That was the selection, and it was perfect. We were one of the first tables because Hannah did her hair and makeup, which was really cool. So we had a reserved spot. So table 1 and 2 got called, and I got back to the table with a plate full. I probably should have got 2 plates. And man, the mac and cheese, I mean, if I have to pick one, it was the mac and cheese. But I think everything as a meal, that just, you have to have each aspect of that meal to make it complete. It had the crispy crunchies on top of the mac and cheese. So just good. You know, like a pan that takes up half the table of mac and cheese. And that was good. And then I did, and they had slider buns, so you could also have like 4 or 5 and feel okay about it. Whereas nice. Like a pulled pork sandwich, if you take 2, like, you know, what are you trying to prove? Yeah. So get a couple slider buns, and then it was in order to get a bun, pulled pork, and then mac and cheese. But I did a quick sleight of hand, and I grabbed a scoop of mac and cheese, and then back to the pulled pork, put the pulled pork on top. So I had sliders, and I had mac and cheese topped with pulled pork. And then just filled the rest of the plate with Caesar salad.
Nice. You can't go wrong. And I mean,
for a big event, like, shout out. I feel like for big events, a lot of times they make the Caesar salad way too far ahead of time. So it's all soggy or like an outdoor picnic style. This was still crunchy. The croutons were intact. 10 out of 10 meal.
Love that. Man, I can taste it. I feel like, I mean, we'll preview the 4th here, but I feel like that's just an American staple. Celebrate 4th of July. I mean, you can't go wrong with just the timeless classics like pulled pork that's been in the smoker since the 3rd, a nice creamy baked mac and cheese, and like the Winco foiled throwaway pan. Like, that's authentic right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, let's throw in your favorite deep cut. Maybe we go maybe a patriotic deep cut for to be on theme, and then we'll preview our 4th of July weekends and get you guys on out of here.
I do like that. Deep cut. I mean, we might have to have a few.
I have one top of mind that just, like,
okay.
I feel like it's a timeless, like, you got to hear it on the 4th at least once. Only in America, Brooks and Dunn, early 2000s. It came on a week or two ago, and I was like, I forgot how good this song is. And that's like, you listen to it anytime, but, and you know, there's some songs like a Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA or something.
Yeah,
like,
timeless.
That's definitely like, you're going to play it on the 4th, but you might not just jam out to it in your car. You could, because it's a good one, but only in America, like, so good. And then I'll throw in one more just because, also top of mind, It's America, Rodney Atkins.
Oh,
Lemonade Stand, you know, it's that's just like, you can picture the music video, the movie playing out. So I'll take
that one, like, for my hits deep the cut. Childhood, like, that's right there.
Yeah, love a good Rodney Atkins. Definitely not on constant repeat, but every time he comes on, I'm like, yeah, good sound. Yeah.
He has staples for sure.
All right, what do you got? Any juices flowing?
I'm glad that you didn't take it on 1 or 2 on that, but courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, it's not a complete celebration of the weekend for Independence Day without hearing Toby Keith's Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, hands down.
Love that. I mean, that's pretty, you could turn on half of Toby Keith's songs and you'd be rocking the red, white, and blue pants or board shorts. So, yeah, can't go wrong with Toby. Sending prayers up for Toby as well, battling stomach cancer. So I know he's been on a little bit of a hiatus, but Godspeed to Toby. And, yeah, can't go wrong with a little courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, what do you got planned for the weekend? Supposed to be nice weather. Excited for it.
Yeah, kicking off the summer using the availability and the nice weather of the weekend and painting the house. Nice. So not going to be doing that on the 4th, but using the weekend. Like you said at the beginning of the episode, it is on a Tuesday, so it's a little bit weird of timing.
Pretty much the worst day that the 4th could be on other than Wednesday.
I think, yeah, next year I think will be tough. But when it comes back to Thursday in 2 years, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Like,
yeah, you're not working Friday.
Every office in the country, including all government buildings, should be closed on that Friday.
And I think maybe we heard a podcast last year or something talk about this, but if you end up having to work on a Friday after a Thursday holiday, like, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's... If you're paying people to work or you're paying people PTO, like, just pay them that. You're paying them anyway, right? Yeah. Why does the office have to be open?
Definitely. Well, yeah, hopefully the house painting goes well. I'm sure it'll kind of tie a bow on your whole home remodel, which has gone pretty quick and obviously looks great. So excited to see the finished product there.
Yeah, excited, ready for it to pop. And then as far as the 4th, we're looking at 86 in Washington. I actually just got the memory popped up from 2 years ago when we had 110 in Washington, which was the same weekend as my marathon.
Damn.
So we're sitting at a nice 76 today, which is just right. 86 next week for the 4th. I'm going to go find a lake somewhere, just float. I want to get a floatable cooler so I don't even have to get out of the water to restock.
Money. That's definitely the move. Costco might have one, so maybe take a tour through.
Definitely. Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, Mandy's parents are coming into town tomorrow on Thursday. Little long weekend, which will be fun. They're not staying till the 4th. They're here Thursday through Sunday. So, yeah, we're going to go hit the lake, take the jet ski out, hit a Hawks game, kind of your All-American weekend, see some baseball in action, and hopefully hit some favorite spots in Boise to eat and drink. And then on the 4th, I think we'll also head up to the lake and do a little camping. But, yeah, just excited to get outside. And I am working Monday, and I know you're not, so that is kind of a bummer. But I figured I don't have any other plans anyways, so might as well. But other than that, really looking forward to it. Should be a fun weekend. I feel like that Monday is kind of like the Friday that we described too. You kind of tee up your week without having to do a whole lot, and then on Wednesday I'll come back and, you know, hit it hard. But Monday I think will be a kind of a good
you won't get the holiday scaries when you when you have to start the week like after Memorial Day or Labor Day or something, or you start the week on a Tuesday. I'll be starting the week on a Wednesday. But you'll just have like a 1 day break, which is nice. But
because Monday is kind of like it kind of evens out. Like by Wednesday, you forget that you already worked that week. And then all of a sudden, weekend.
You like did yourself a bunch of favors already to start the week.
That's the goal. So, yeah, excited. We're sitting at 82 right now, which just feels perfect. We got to get these thunderstorms stop rolling through, but we are looking. The 4th is supposed to be 91 on Independence Day. We might touch 100 this weekend, which happens so fast. I mean, it was 40 last week in the morning, but it's coming. So preparing for the heat, got to get the mountain bike out before that and make the summer count.
Yeah, shout out to Trevor. We were just talking about bike riding, and Duncan's latest blog was a great article about the benefits of riding your bike to work, if possible. And shout out to Trevor, a little there and back today. I saw his workout pop up. 9 miles each way.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row now. He did one last week to try to get the biker butt in shape. So, yeah, props to him.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, excited for the weekend. Again, reach out if you want a CTL Stars and Stripes koozie. Everybody have a safe 4th if we don't record and talk to you before then. But yeah, should be a fun weekend and looking forward to it.
Yeah, happy Independence Day, everybody. And as always,
let's climb the ladder.